हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर श्रीवासरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Paramatma Sandarbha, Adhyayana 2, Adhikarna 7. Then the jiva is always dependent on Paramatma. So then we're on page 120. The Hamsa Guya prayers say, the body, life, air, senses, internal senses, gross elements, and sense objects do not know themselves or other things or the jiva. The jiva knows all these items and the gunas which cause them. He does not really know the omniscient Lord. I worship that Lord with infinite qualities. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.25. It is also said in the 11th canto, for the jiva averse to the Lord, there will be samsara, consisting of identity with body and lacking of identity with the soul, because of its absorption in the material coverings on the soul arising from the Lord's maya. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37. Already quoted, Vishnu Purana says, the jiva, because of being covered by the Maya Shakti, exists in various states in various bodies. Vidura speaks of both types. How many types of destruction are there? How many types of destruction are there for the various elements? Who remains serving the Lord during destruction? And who goes to sleep? Srimad Bhagavatam 3.7.37. Though the averse jivas are pure, they take a material birth with coverings, upadi, caused by the Supreme Lord who is endowed with his shakti, jiva. That material birth is a state of adhyatma, material individuality, caused by identifying with the birth because of appearance of the coverings. Neither material nature nor the soul who tries to enjoy her are ever born. Yet, living bodies come into being when these two combine, pervaded by you, just as bubbles form where water and air join with Akash. And just as rivers merge into the ocean or the nectar from the many different flowers blends into honey, so all these conditioned beings eventually merge back into you, the Supreme, along with their various names and qualities. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.31. The Shrutis speak this verse in praise of the Lord. There is no birth of Prakriti made of three gunas, and there is no birth of the pure jiva, Purusha. The jiva is with upadis, or adhyatmika forms, ashru-brit. Living beings are born because of Paramatma, who is endowed with these two shaktis. Ubhaya, yuja. The shaktis called jivas are pure when merged in Paramatma, since their desires are sleeping when the transformation of Prakriti are extinguished in Pralaya. When the desires are agitated after Prakriti transforms at the time of creation, the jivas attain a conditioned state and go forth into the material universe. So when they merge back into the Lord at the time of sleep, when they enter the Lord, then at that time they are pure, because the soul by nature is pure. And so at that time, without any covering zupati, they're pure. Mm-hmm. And they're also asleep, so they're not aware of anything. So they're acting in a natural state. So then when the material energy is agitated again in the forms again, then the desires of the living entities also come up and they go back into the material nature. Mm-hmm. Right? So there is that idea that sleeping position and all that, there's the Vasudeva Sattva and like this, So without actually understanding the Lord and understanding who they are, they're trying to attain such a position by their whole sadhana and everything. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So they're just missing out that that's not actually how it works. That's not actually how you get involved. Right? Because that state is a state free from material contamination. But it's not still not the natural position of the soul. The natural position is to have a relationship with the Lord. That's the natural position.
So it's a pure state, but the jiva's in that state inactive.
Yeah, inactive because they're asleep. Like that. Then he breathes out, they're there, and then there's that moment where you have the primary creation. So they'll be in that Vasudev Sattva awake, and then they'll, when the secondary creation, then they'll take on the material forms, like that. So they get all these states. You know, you have the material state here, you have that liberated state seeming there, and then you have that sleeping state of nothingness. So that aspect of nirvana, and then nirvisesh, and then the material desire. All those three happen in just breathing out, breathing in of the Lord. So their basis is in the Lord, but it's not the natural position. The natural position is to be in the spiritual world where you don't have these things. So what we see is that the jivas, they're simply just following the Lord. Yes. But because of their own desires, they always come up with something weird and stupid. Like that. Right? But how you say in Bengali, they say in a village of blind men, the man with one eye is king. So in a world of idiots, then the one who can profess his idiocracy, you know, and come up with, you know, idiot vod, then he's considered special. Does that make sense? So that's why anything other than the pure Vaishnav understanding means it's mixed with something, and then therefore it's just less and less intelligent. Yeah,
this is also, it makes sense that in the world of karmis, jnanis are respected because they practice renunciation.
Yes.
So that part is good, but everything else in terms of philosophy is basically useless.
Yeah, basically useless. Means the detachment part that you're supposed to do without attachment, that's the only advantage. But because they don't work, they can't really apply it. So that's the thing, is if in karma you're applying it, you'll get to jnana. Then you just have to maintain kind of that mentality. But jnana itself can't get you to that platform.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. That's why bhakti is superior, because it encompasses all the other processes are subservient to bhakti. So therefore you get all the benefit of all those things by performing bhakti. The Shruti... next page. With this in mind, it is said in the third canto, Bhagavan, Lord of Mahavaikuntha, in his Swamsa expansion as the Purusha, full of potency, at a certain moment of time, placed the jivas into maya, which became agitated by their gunas. Right? So in this way is that if you take on the material qualities, if you're in the material world, then it's Mahavishnu who is placing you. And so therefore, then you're coming from Mahavishnu, because he's breathing out, you're coming from there. So how can anyone complain? No, I don't want to come from... Then why are you here? You know?
It's a mistake.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, is there's all no, but you know, why not Balaram? Why not, you know, whatever it is, out of Aladdin's lamp or something, you know, like this. But the point is you've qualified to be in the material consciousness, and so therefore, then you appear here. Does that make sense? It's just like, let us say you have a citizen. But he's not behaving properly, So he's put into the, you know, the prison. Now when you are identifying individuals, where they're placed or where they're from, then they'll be called they're from prison. They're citizens. But you're not calling them citizens, you're calling them prisoners. Does that make sense? Yes.
Well, the main complaint is that we're coming from Mahavishnu or any other expansion for that.
We want to come directly from Krishna out of his flute or what? What's the...
No. The complaint seems to be, because we're doing research, is that according to the description, we're born in Tatastha. We're not staying there permanently, but we are born from Tatastha. And then the others coming from Balaram and Mahasankarshan, they don't even have a chance to look at Maya. They aren't there at all.
So everybody should have this chance.
Exactly. But, so if it's not fair, if we had this chance and somehow we
messed it up.
Yeah, we messed it up.
Okay. So if we're miserable, everybody else should have that opportunity to be miserable.
Yes.
Yeah, hence then the cardinal sin is envy and attachment. So the envious of all the other Shaktis. You know? And so then all these other Shaktis, then they're giving the opportunity then to see Krishna and then decide whether they want to be involved in Krishna's service or not. It means we're doing that. Every aspect of Krishna's energy, we're all taking it and offering it to Krishna. But then it's their choice whether they want to, because they've been in touch with all these other things, whether they want to continue in that or to continue in touch with Krishna. We're doing that with every aspect of Krishna's energy, right?
Yeah.
Means? Yeah? Or they're taking the material energy themselves and just enjoying it. So where's the option? They're not giving any options to the energy. And then they're demanding that Krishna has to. So, another way, if you want to use some reverse engineering on this or something else, is now we want the internal energy to be here for us to enjoy. We're not satisfied that we ended up with the material energy, which is dead matter. We want some nice conscious stuff. But why isn't it here so that we can, it can make the choice so we can enjoy it? Because otherwise, why would these things come up? Where does this envy come from? It's that this is who we are. There's all kinds of energies. Are they complaining? How come the earth energy is a wall, but the air energy is moving through the room? Why isn't the air energy given the opportunity to be a wall or the wall to be air? They're quite comfortable with that. Would they be happy being there on the third floor and then the earth decides, I'd like to be air for a while?
Yeah.
They're going to be cool with that? Or they're moving through the air, walking down the road, and the air decides to become earth, and now they're stuck inside a pile of dirt. The point is the jivas are who they are. Just accept it. This whole thing of, no, it should be this way, no, it should be that way, that's why we're here. We think we have our own idea. This is how it's made. Why can't this be a water pot? Why can't this be a microphone? It's not. That's a microphone. That's a water pot. Deal with it. That's the bottom line. But there, it's always this. No. But what's the advantage? Even if it was, what's the advantage?
Well, the advantage is that now we can explain. We are the victim, and everybody else, they're bad.
We're the victim, and everybody else is bad. Then no problem. You can stay here and, everybody else is bad. From what I know of, if you visit a prison, 98% of those in the prison think that they're perfectly fine and they were cheated. And so, therefore, yeah, if you want to continue with the prisoner mentality, you think all these things. If you want to go back to Godhead, get out of here, solve the problem of birth and death, then you have to actually decide to take up spiritual life, spiritual realization. It's simple. It's just the way it is. It's the facts. These aren't points of discussion. When you say Krishna's God and we're the Jiva, they're not points of discussion. We can explain them. But they're not points of discussion on whether we're Jivas or not, or whether we're this or that. The point is, so therefore, in their mind, there's the day, and then in a nanosecond, it's just pitch black. And then it's pitch black, and then at one nanosecond, bang, it's bright sunlight. Right? That's the way it should be, according to their philosophy. Right? There's no twilight. How many poets, it means, let's say in proportion, poets talking about the glory of the day, the glory of the night, or the glory of the sunrise or sunset, which one gets more attention? The twilight. Right, because it adds some little stuff. That's what we do. Why can't they be happy that we're twilight, you know? Does that make sense? But the understanding is we're part of the day, not the night. In other words, the day is ending, then it becomes night. The day is beginning, then it's full day. Night's night.
I guess it's the same, more or less the same... problem is that the Mayavadis, they don't accept that they're Jivas. They want to be Brahman, or
yes,
they want to become Brahman.
They want to be internal potency. But as Krishna points, Prabhupada points out, wanting to be either Krishna or Krishna's devotee, meaning like Mother Jashoda and that, that's Mayavadi. Yeah. It's not that, oh, it's only Krishna. So we have to recognize it as an impurity and move on from it. You know, we're here because of these mentalities. If we want to stay, we're already qualified to stay. You want to get out of here, then you start practicing self-realization, which means know Krishna, therefore you know who you are. But they're trying to figure out who they are, and then we'll establish if everybody else is okay. No, but you've established Krishna and his energies, and then we are this energy. So if they accept, we're Jivas, we're assistants, we're instruments. Here's the other fun. Let them cook lunch, you know, without using any utensil. They can use the pot, they can use the fire, they can use the vegetables, but they cannot use a spoon or anything. If they want to do it, they have to do it with their own hand. No spoons. We're going to agree to that? Go ahead. Cook pancakes. Just use your hands. Flip it over. Like that. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Or when they want to take that pot out of the oven, you know, it's 300-400 degrees, use your bare hands. Don't use the glove. So they're very happy, you know, you want to turn on the TV, why are you using the remote? Get up, walk all the way over there and push the button. So they're very happy with all these things, that these things make life very nice and add a very nice taste, but they won't agree to be one of those. Because they want to be the enjoyer. They don't want to be the instrument. I'm either the subject or the object, I'm not the instrument. So it's just an unfortunate position that there's attachment to that I am the controller and enjoyer. And why it's not like that. And if it's not like that, it's someone else's problem and I'm the victim. You know, and that, no, you're conditioned that, oh, but it's not me. So it's just no one can accept that they're wrong. And if they can't accept it on this platform, guaranteed they can't accept it on the social or personal platform. And therefore, just the whole thing would just go to hell. You won't have any of the social and all this and that. It'll always be someone else's role. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No.
We have to remember in, what was it, 1917 or 18? That was Russians and Russians.
Yeah.
That wasn't Russians and Germans, Russians and French. You know what I'm saying? So they're saying how bad the French were and how bad the Germans were. And, you know, what is it, Petersburg, you know, we only had 125 grams of bread a day. And, you know, for so many days, and it was so austere and that. How many people did Russians kill themselves? So therefore, look at it. Is that you got to get it together. It's not in other words, the mentality is still not quite right. It needs some work. And it's no one else's fault. You know? You know, I mean, it sounds great, the 1812 and, you know, the music and everything. And, you know, it's great. But the point is, you know, it's Russians. So they have to be able to move on that if we maintain these attachments to, I have to be the center, I have to be in control, I have to be right, then, you know, Maya has plenty of engagement for that mentality. Because everybody thinks like that. You know? Everybody thinks like that. You go into that, into the ant, they fight with each other. You have a bunch of dogs, they're fighting. You know, there's somehow or another this mystic line on the road. And they stand on both sides and bark. We just walk by and who cares? But they've made, you know, this side is mine, that side's yours. And they sit there and bark. So one thing where there's two dogs, there's a gate, you know, and the gate has the bars down. You know, so you can kind of stick your nose through and like that. They're sitting there, their teeth out, growling, there's that, just like really going for it, like they're going to kill each other if they could get. And then somebody's standing back and the gate's a sliding gate. And he slides the gate back. So there is no gate. And they're standing this close to each other. And then suddenly they just sit there and just go like this, you know? They're quiet. And then he rolls the gate back so it's closed immediately. But then he moves it back and again they're closed. He did it like three or four times. It's like so funny. So in their mind, it's really important that, yeah, fight over, but in reality, okay, go for it. There they are, bite his ear off. No, not. They're just everyone's moving. Nice weather today.
The caption was given in that. The caption he gave was, this is how politicians behave.
Yeah, these are politicians, yeah. Yeah, so these things are just, and they're so funny. They go around, right? The whole world sees it just because it's just, but that's the reality, you know. So it's, yeah. So the point is that you have to start, Shabda, it's not a matter of agreeing or not. It's a matter of trying to understand it. That's the point of Shabda. Krishna knows. Krishna says this is how it is. Like Lord Chaitanya is discussing, what is the jiva? That's just the way it is. It's his energy. And so when we understand who we are, that's why you see the acharyas, they're humble and this and that. They're not trying to be the victim. They're not trying to be, you know. If anybody could have been taken on, I'm a victim. What about Haridas Thakur? You know, is the story go and then they beat him in the market and then he's thinking, oh, I'm the victim, you know, I'm chanting so many rounds and this is happening to me. Is that a part of the pastime? No. That's why he's so glorious. That's why the ruler of that area, he came personally to see him afterwards and then told all his people, this guy can move anywhere in my kingdom wherever he likes. No one should bother him. Because he acted in a saintly way. Everyone. But if he was the victim, who likes the victim? No one likes the victim. You don't want to be the victim. You don't like anybody else being the victim. Because if they're the victim, you can't be the victim. You know, so it's always a fight over who's the victim.
Well, nowadays, bulls can be the victim, actually.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, they've come to a compromise there. Could both be the, we're both, but that means if they're victims, then who's the one who's making them victims?
Well, it's circumstances, life, or whatever. They take it to a third party.
Okay, yes, but an impersonal third party.
Yes.
Because if it's a personal third party, then it might come back on them. Yeah. Yes, so these are all mundane mentalities that we can maintain if we like. Krishna gives us that independence. See, the point is he's independent means all his energies are independent. But the point is they don't want to be independent. They're smarter. So that's the thing. We're small. We need some help. You know, it's just like kids, you know. They're humans, but they need some help. And so that's how we take part in it, and it's really nice. No one likes to hang out, you know, have a bunch of kids and do things with kids. Right? If no one liked that, then, you know, everybody would be sannyasis, right? You know, and then, what do you call it? We'd give, Vishwamitra a call, right? Like that, you know. You know that coconut tree idea you had, you know? Yeah, and so, but no, people, that's why there's families, because there's children. And then you can do things with them. So that's the whole thing, is that having something that's junior to you, but at the same time is you can relate and all that, it becomes part of the scene. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So at some point they have to move on in their life if they want to move forward in Krishna consciousness. But if it's just that this is the problem and everything else is great, then don't bother about this. Just don't talk about it. You know? Use the Swedish principle. Yeah, they just stick it under the rug, don't talk about it for 10 years. And then after 10 years, everything's fine. Like, you know, two people hate each other, they just don't talk about it for 10 years. You know, they may not interact, they're very formal. Then after 10 years, they're friends again. You know, so just stay away from this one. Just don't talk about it. Yes.
So it seems that the principle of accepting authority,
yes,
it's quite central in the life of Krishna.
Yes, yes.
But the difficulty is to accept means to put out our understanding, to accept the understanding of somebody else.
That's there. But our own understanding is fairly useless, so why do we have so much faith in that? If our understanding was so great, why are we in the position we're in?
Mainly by habits.
Yeah, by his habits, but we'll blame it on someone else. See, the whole thing is it's just we want to be the center of attention.
Yes.
And if it doesn't work, then what do?
Criticize.
Yeah, criticize, cry, something like this. Yes. You know, it's like that. Because that's our idea. Nothing else works, so then you use that. You know, because we're saying is that, you know, how you say, you have that social environment where you have the men are prominent socially, then that's bad. It has to be equal. Equal means it has to be feminine. Like that. You know, it's just like if you have a movie crew that's all men, oh, it'll be criticized. But if you have one that's all women, oh, that's modern, that's up to date. But it's just as segregated. What does it matter? You know, and then the next thing when it's often, well, is it female Asians or female, you know, African Americans? Or is it just a perfect mix in that there's not one more? And so, okay, we have one left, we need one more Asian, you know, so what do we do? Well, we can make a second gaffer, you know, or something, you know. He has nothing to do, but, you know, whatever it is, at least he's there and he's on the payroll that we have, yeah?
I've seen in the movies. Recently, they do about, you know, aristocracy, and there's some Afro-Americans who play that role.
Yeah, yeah, who were never there, you know. That would be like, you know, you go there and you go back in time, and they go through the thing, and the phoenix flies, and you know all this, and then you come to the palace, and there's the, you know, the how you say, the emperor of China and all that, you know, 2,000 years ago, and he's African American. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, okay, why not? You know, it's exactly the same thing. That's the thing, is they're so foolish, they don't understand, is this group can't do it, but we can do it. But if it's wrong, it's wrong. Yeah, that's exactly. So, So the principle is that you have authority, and then you try to, you see, the authority is right here, so then apply it. Now, if it's been right in everything else, why in this one thing then we don't accept? It also has to be. So then, I don't understand it, that doesn't mean that it's wrong. It means that I should, okay, if it's important, I should try to, by a submissive inquiry and service, try to understand it. Because when I hear it, I have to apply it. And if I don't apply it, I'm not. It's not seva. And if there's no seva, I won't therefore want to know. And if I don't want to know, I won't inquire submissively. So they all nourish each other. So, yeah. The jiva, viryam, is placed in prakriti. Gita says the same. Mama yonir mahad brahma tasmin garabham dadamyaham. I place the jiva into the womb of Prakriti. Bhagavad Gita 14.3. Sridhar Swami says that Brahma in the Gita verse means Prakriti and Garbha means the jiva. But here's another aspect is that Krishna's saying, so he's the father of everyone. So then you're saying Krishna as the father. Like that. That you have a relationship. So every father that you have in every birth, that potency that gives that feeling of fatherness, that's Krishna. You know? And so it goes back to Krishna. So then you see it's that personal aspect. Krishna loves us more than we love him. Because basically we don't so much. It means underlying we're trying to find him by all the different things that we do. But at the same time, as we're not recognizing it as the person. So accepting that, you know, he's the father, he's the this, he's everything, then that moves things forward very nicely. But then we're arguing over then, you know, who's my father? You know, is it this one or is it that one? You know? So that makes sense. You know, is it Amitabh Bachchan? Is it Shah Rukh? Or is it Brad Pitt? You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, no, it's just be happy. Also in the third canto, it is said, the Supreme Lord placed the jivas into the womb of Prakriti. Those gunas were agitated by time. Prakriti gave birth to the brilliant Mahatattva. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26-19. In this verse, viryam means chit shakti, according to Sridhar Swami. He agrees that the jiva is a shakti, right? Because we're expanding from chit, like that. Because you have the ananda and you have the sat. I mean, ananda and chit, right? And then the sat, that's the form that's what creates the forms. So either the spiritual form or the material forms. So that means we're on that edge of sat. I mean, chit. Between chit and sat. There has to be something there. You know, if they're asking, oh, well, what's on the other side? You know, so that's bhakti. Between chit and ananda. That's bhakti. You know, so why not? You know, so okay, we only want to work with those who are like us. So then take bhakti. Right? Absorb yourself in bhakti. To show that the appearance of the conditioned jiva in the world takes place suddenly, an example is given. It is like the appearance of bubbles in water. Then again, at the time of destruction, all the conditioned jiva, ime, merge into you, tvayi, paramatma, parame, the principal form like the sun, who is endowed with shakti of pure jiva, endowed with consciousness like a ray. Shruti confirms this with Swam Apito Bhavati. The jiva merges with the Lord, Swam. The jiva merges into the Lord along with his various names, such as Devata or human, and with his qualities, good or bad. So whatever is his consciousness, that he goes back into the Lord. Right? And then with all those things, he sits there. Even though he's in a pure state, but because he's asleep, these things aren't understood. He's just in a pure state. Right? Then, when he comes back out in the creation, as I said before, the glance, he's in the material energy. Then by time, material energy is agitated. That gives the Mahatattva. That's the three modes, and then everything happens. then the living entity, according to that good or bad qualities, all these things, then they take up their position. As with taking up upadis, an example is given of destruction of upadis. It is like rivers merging in an ocean of various flavors merging in honey, or various flavors merging in honey. When the jiva merges into the Lord by giving up names and forms of devata or human, his swarup still remains, since the jivas are still amshas. These are still parts. They just are sitting in the Lord instead of sitting in material energy. The Shruti says, Hante mas tishro devata anena jivenat mananu pravishya nama rupe vya karavani. Let me enter these three devatas, fire, water, and earth, with the jiva, and divide name and form. Chandogya Upanishad 6.3.2. Okay. One unborn entity, satisfied, follows another unborn entity. A female entity who is red, white, and black, and produces many offspring of similar nature. Sweta Sutara Upanishad. Just as flowing rivers, giving up name and form, disappear in the ocean, so the man in knowledge, free from name and form, attains the supreme shining person, Mundaka Upanishad. But you mean your individuality, but the point is it's part of the ocean. Mm-hmm. You know? But the water is still that individual aspect. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So Krishna is creating all these different things, you know? According to water, fire, and earth, that's what the body's made out of. Then it's mixed with air and ether. Mm-hmm. And so then you get, the living entity. Mm-hmm. Like that. And then the material energy, the three modes, then creates all the forms of the Lord. And then like that, you can also then go back to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You don't have to stay. Because we have the desire, Krishna arranges it. Then he gives the potency, then Maya takes care of it, and then if we're interested, we can go back. No? My dear boy, the partial disillusion resembles that what happens when honeybees collect honey by extracting the nectar from the flowers of various kinds of trees and merge it all together, all into a single mixture. Just as the mixed nectars cannot distinguish, I am the juice of such and such a flower, or I am the juice of another flower, so, dear boy, when all these living entities merge together, they cannot consciously think. Now we have merged together. Footnote 7. Source of the verse is unknown. Okay. Yeah. So the point is when you merge in, you can't think. That's why they're asleep. They're unconscious. Right? So when they come out of the Lord, then they're conscious. But their individuality is not lost. So this whole idea is that we're going to merge into Brahman and then we'll experience Ananda. No, you'll just be asleep. Udriti, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur elaborates on this topic in the Jiva Dharma. Vrajendranath, wherein lies the distinction between Ishwara and the Jiva? Raghunath Das Babaji, first, I shall enumerate the eternal similarities between Ishwara and the Jiva, and later their eternal distinctions. The Supreme Lord is the embodiment of knowledge, the symbol of omniscience, the greatest counselor, the self-manifest highest divinity, the illuminator of others, the Kshetragya, the knower of the fields of action, the self-determined, the enjoyer. These self-same qualities are also present in the Jiva, but marginally. The Lord absolutely epitomizes these characters because he is the unlimited proprietor of the absolute supreme potency. However, in contrast, the Jiva, because of his diminutive size and infinitesimal potency, possesses these same characteristics, but in a minimal degree. Thus, although there exists a disparity in size and nature between the Lord and the Jiva, in respect to the qualities that both possess, there is a close affinity. Right? Because, so even though he's unlimited and we're, the poster child of limited, right? You know, But there's an affinity between the living entity and the Lord. Something?
Same in quality, but different in quantity.
Yes, that's the point. Yeah. The omniscient supreme Lord is the controller and master of the Sarup Shakti, Jiva Shakti, and Maya Shakti. These varieties of his Shakti are his maidservants, ready to execute his bidding alone without individual prerogatives. The qualities of the Lord are certainly present within the Jiva in minuscule amounts. Nevertheless, Jiva is still subject and subordinate to the dictates of the Lord's Shaktis. So that's just the way it is. We're because of our size, then we have to work under someone else to get something. We can't get anything done. Krishna is unlimited. His energies are unlimited. We're limited. We want to get something done in the unlimited realm. We have to take shelter of the unlimited energies. Yeah. And then if we complain, well, why are we like that? It's just, that's the way it is. Yeah. In the teachings of the Dasam Rule, fifth verse, the word Maya does not exclusively indicate the mundane Jada Maya. Maya also very definitely indicates the Sarup Shakti of the Lord, which is also known as Yoga Maya. According to etymology, Miyate Ananya Iti Maya, that by which one can measure is Maya. Yes. The Shakti of the Lord that connects Sri Krishna to the spiritual world, to the Jiva and to the material nature is also known as Maya. Sri Krishna is the Lord of Maya and the Jiva is her captive slave. Svetasatara Upanishad 4.9.10 comments. Quote, the ingredients with which the Supreme Godhead, the Lord of Maya, creates this universe and into which the captive of Maya, the Jiva, enters is known as Prakriti or Maya. The Supreme Lord, controller of Maya, pervades the entire creation in his universal form. End quote. Oh, then continuing. According to... this is...
Next one. It's 4.9 and this is 4.10.
Oh. According to this quotation from the Vedas, the word Mayi refers to the Lord of Maya, Sri Krishna. The word Prakriti means the Sampurna Shakti, the complete absolute energy. This preeminent superiority in absolute nature is the divine prerogative of the Supreme Lord. The Jiva neither possesses these traits in the present conditioned state, nor even when he is liberated. The eternal distinction between the Jiva and Bhagwan is stated in the Brahma Sutra 4.417. Right? So, in other words, you're seeing it from the samasti aspect of how he is, everything's connected to him. And he's the controller of all that. The eternal distinction between the Jiva and Bhagavan is stated in the Brahma Sutra 4.417. Jagat Vyapara Varjam Prakaranad Asami Hi Tavat. For the work of creation, maintenance, and governance of the entire material and spiritual worlds can be enacted by the Supreme Brahman alone. And no other individual can perform these activities. The liberated Jivas are able to conduct other works, but not his. Right? So no one can do this of the creation, maintenance, and governance other than him. The comment of the Taittiriya Upanishad on this topic is, Yato va imani bhutani jayante. The Supreme Brahman is the one who is the primal source of all the living entities. This substance of the sustainer of everything, and at the same time, the destination into whom the total dissolution enters. Even if one stretches the meanings of the words, the Jiva, liberated or otherwise, is not indicated anywhere in this verse as performing the activities of creation, maintenance, and destruction. In the entire Shruti and Smriti of the Vedic scriptures, Bhagavan alone has been accredited with controlling the universal affairs. Never the Jiva. Hypothetically, if the individual Jivas were to be entrusted with such immense powers of creation, maintenance, and destruction, then humanity would be faced with the unwelcome philosophical predicament known as Bahvishwara Dosha, the faulty concept of many Ishwar, individual Ishwara controllers. Hence, one should clearly understand that even liberated souls are inadequate in the matter of creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the cause of manifestation. Right, so that means, like you see, they have the 50 qualities. Then above that, you start having these qualities, and they're not part of that. This eternal distinction between the jiva and the Supreme Lord is always applicable and inescapable. Therefore, one should realize that the statement, the jiva is the eternal servant of Sri Krishna, is an actual Mahavakya, an important dictum. Right, so you're explaining how he's part of the energies and all that, and so that way he's non-different from the Lord, because the Lord and his energies are non-different. Then he explains how, being who he is, he can't do what the Lord does. And that's an eternal position, whether conditioned or liberated. Right? So it looks like it's the same topic, because they are the same topic. You're just looking at it from the two angles, the oneness and the difference. But you see, in both of them, it's personal. So that philosophers come up with an impersonal approach to this, where does that come from? Right? That's just their imagination. Right? Because they're like, you know, this is trouble, you know, we shouldn't have this. So what would it look like? You know, it's just like, what do you call it? Plato. Then he said, you know, what he felt the ideal society would be. You know, down to the details of everything like this. Does that make sense? But otherwise, you see, this is wrong. Okay, what's right? Everybody should. How does that look? Everybody's equal. So that means, okay, you got some, you know, Nike shoes, and he doesn't. So now, does that mean you wear what he wears, or everybody gets Nike shoes? Do they all get Nike, or do they get Adidas, or do they get Puma? I mean, you know, what is it? You know, it all has to be equal. Everyone has to be exactly the same. But that sounds like, you know, that's what they did in communist China. You know, everyone wore exactly the same thing.
North Korea
also. They still do it. Or they did it one time. Yeah. So, you know, it's tried. When you take that to an extreme, then it's all like that. But then the problem comes up is that, you know, it doesn't work. You know, everyone's an individual. So, therefore, it's an impersonal philosophy. That's why it fails. It goes into, you know, it's so much envy of everybody out that everyone's got to be the same. And then you go into the enjoyer, how everyone's individual, and then go like that, but then they don't care for anybody else except for themselves. And then the fun part is, you see how that worked? The one is actually impersonal. The one has the idea of individuality, but you don't care about anyone else. But the left will say, oh, they're just this group that is doing everything about themselves, and we're the ones that's worrying about individuality, when actually the philosophy is exact opposite. So that's Maya. Maya makes each position, you say it's one thing, but it's actually the other. You know, oh no, we care about community, your own community, your own family, not beyond that. And the other ones don't care about their own family, so therefore, yeah, it's all us together, because they don't have a family. You know? So that's the thing, is that it's on the mundane platform, then it's all speculative. So we see here, as it's described, what is one, what is different, it's all personal, it's all about the Lord and his energies, and how we're part of one of those energies. You know? So in other words, how we are in relationship to the Lord, and how then we're different from the Lord. Right? And so therefore, then being different, then it says the jiva is the eternal servant of Krishna. Right? That's established. We're not different as an energy of the Lord, but we're small. And so therefore, small, we're not big. And so what is our position? Servant of the Lord. So that reconciles both. Vrajanath, if the eternal difference is perfectly and conclusively proved, when and how does the people of non-difference become an active principle? The principle of non-difference. Furthermore, if this concept of eternal non-difference actually does not become active, shall we have to accept ultimately the concept of nirvana, the jiva merging into Brahman? Raghunath Das Babaji, no, my son. right? Before that, he hasn't used that sentence. You know, so, okay, yeah, no, don't worry about this. You know, these are childish things, right? That is emphatically not the case. At no stage does the jiva become non-different from the Supreme Lord, right? So they're trying to take it, oh, no, but if you have this and you have that, then you're going to end up with this. No, you don't. It's like nerds. Right, you know, if we do this and that, and then what happens, and then like that, and then, you know, then he, you know, what do you call it? Then he, you know, touched the electricity, and then, you know, then 50,000 volts, and then he turned into this, and now he was the super this, and I, you know, that's like, you know, that's nerds. Nerds come up with this stuff. No, they think too much. Otherwise, no, it's just like this. This is all it. Prajna. Yet, did you not say that they were inconceivably and simultaneously one and different? Raghunath Das Babaji. On the basis of his spiritual nature and qualities, the jiva is eternally non-different from Sri Krishna. But on the grounds of a spiritual identity, the jiva is eternally distinct from Krishna. Right? So, nature and qualities, and then individual, what do you call it? Identity, spiritual identity. So as identity, you're different. As nature and qualities, you're the same. But he's unlimited, we're limited. You know, so just because of the same, then we're saying it's the whole ocean. Because if that's there, then great. You know, anybody at any time could go for, you know, a ocean, you know, a experience and whatever you want to do. You know, we just set up a company where, you know, we send out, you know, one drop of ocean water, you know, to anyone like that. We'll have it delivered right to your door and everything like that. And when you get it, because, you know, because it's non-different from the ocean, it's the same as the ocean. Therefore, you know, take your family on a world cruise on this drop. Go for it. You know? So. No? Not interested? Okay.
The children can make the boat.
Their oneness is eternal, and their distinction is also eternal, and the aspect of eternal distinction between them is preeminent and conspicuous. For example, one may say, this house is the property of Devadatta. Simultaneously, one may also state, Devadatta is not present in the house. Of the two simultaneously correct statements, the fact that the house is the property of Devadatta is clearly the preeminent statement of the two. Another example from the material world is the visible sky. It is inert matter and has a source, but in spite of its having oneness and its source, the general outer space, the visible sky is self-evident by its distinction from its source, outer space. In fact, its identity is discerned by this actual distinction from its source. That's how you see the identity. So our identity is we're minute. So this is the problem here, is that we're saying self-realization, the previous discussion. They're not accepting or understanding their identity. Because it's just what it is. It's eternally that way. We have these qualities, non-different from Krishna, but as our identity, then we're separate from Krishna. We're an individual. Thus, the eternal difference of the jiva from the Supreme Lord, in spite of his simultaneous eternal oneness with the Supreme Lord, actually bestows upon the jiva his eternal identity, and is thus the most important aspect of their eternal relationship. Right? The identity, because that identity as servant of the Lord, subservient to the Lord, or dependent on the Lord, that then is the essential point of their identity. And then from that, then you interact. You act on that. That's Abhideya. Because no one's complaining about that I'm going to do all kinds of things and I'm going to enjoy myself. Right? Isn't it? Everybody is going to do something and everyone's going to try to enjoy. Now the distinction comes up is what's the identity? Yes. That's where there's a thing. Oh, I'm this, oh, I'm that, and so many different things like that. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's not like, oh, yes, no, you know, I'm a black person, you know, drinking a soda, or no, I'm a white person drinking a soda, and no, I'm a black person enjoying drinking this soda, or I'm a white person enjoying drinking this soda. No one's fighting over that. What they're fighting over is, you know, what's the position of everybody? Who's in control? Who's got the rights? Who doesn't? Who owes what to what? Who's the victim? Who's the... So it's in the identity that all the problems are coming up. And if that's a problem, then of course the others will be a problem. You know, am I the supreme drinker of all soft drinks? So when I drink a soft drink, all soft drinks are drunk? You know? That would be annoying, right? Everyone finds all their drinks are empty.
Krishna did that. Krishna did that when he ate one more salaput.
Yeah, then everybody was satisfied. Yeah. I guess this would be the nightmare of the Ekajiva, right?
So imagine, yes, Babaji explained that we have the same nature and different identity. So actually,
yes, same nature, different identity.
The materialistic point of view, it is the opposite. We have we can say
same identity, different
than
nature.
God and different nature. We want different things.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, because we're saying I'm God and I want something separate. So we're a separatist.
Yes.
You could say. But they had always, all these things move because they're both together. They're both an eternal fact.
Yes.
Because we're part and parcel of the Lord, that identifies that we're an individual.
Yes.
We're distinct.
Yes.
But that distinction identifies that we have the same qualities, so therefore we're one.
Yes.
So each one is non-different. But there's a preeminence.
Yes.
That we're part and parcel and servant of the Lord, that's the main. That we're distinct, that's the secondary aspect.
Yes. But if we understand that automatically, we go to bhakti.
Yes, yes.
No doubt if we accept that concept.
Yes, that's the point. As soon as you accept Krishna and his energies, you have no problem. But this discussion is that we're not accepting the energies.
Yes.
You know, it's Krishna without the energy. So it's just the way the material energy works. It's the way the modes of nature work in philosophy. So if we have lots of background in the Vedic literature and all these things, then you can come up with all these impersonal philosophies. And if we don't, we're still going to think in the same way. You know, it's just like, let's say someone is a very excellent cook, a very excellent appreciator of good food, right? So then... if he gets hungry, he may think of some very sophisticated, you know, item or items or a whole menu that he would like to eat. And someone who doesn't know much, they're hungry, they just think of, you know, something that they liked. You know, that's all. And so, it's very simple. So, but it's the same principle. So, the impersonal philosophy, the Mayavad philosophy, that's just one of the ways the living entity can think. Right? Like the dog, you know, the animal, the tiger, he's not thinking in all these philosophies. He just thinks, you know, that we're food. That's all. You know, so that's the point is that it's not that only in India you have Mayavad philosophy. No, the whole material world you have it. The whole material, because you have the modes of nature. And various combinations give you various results, that's all. You know? But that's the thing, the modes that pervade everything. You know, it's like the white rat. You know, you're in one country, you do the experiment with the white rat. In another country, you do the same experiment with the white rat, you get the same result. Like that. So the modes of nature work that way. It's just the form in which it's done through then looks different. You know, so therefore the dog looks different from the horse, looks different from the cat, looks different from the guinea pig. You know. Are the gerbils the little dinky ones?
Gerbils?
Yeah.
I don't know who they are.
No. No one knows. But I think they're small guinea pigs, but I'm not sure. Huh? No, with a G. G-E-R-B-I-L, I think. It's all, you know, how you say, seems to be a group of little furry, how you say, more pleasant rodents that squeak and they get long, and then the back moves and they get long. They're... Okay, where were we? Right at the top. No, we just turned the page. Okay. How are we doing here? Pretty close. Vrajanath, kindly tell me more about the eternal nature of the jiva. Raghunath Das Babaji. The jiva is an infinitesimal spiritual entity, endowed by his every very nature with consciousness. Thus he has knowledge. He possesses self-identity, is an enjoyer, a thinker, and an intelligent being. The jiva is the proprietor of an eternal identity, which is extremely esoteric and subtle. The material human body is made up of limbs, ears, nose, etc. Similarly, the spiritual body of the jiva is embellished with perfect spiritual features, and this is his eternal form. When the jiva becomes conditioned, two upadis, false identities, cover his atomic eternal spiritual form. The first cover is his linga sharir, the subtle mental body, and the second covering is his stula sharir, gross physical body. Mm-hmm. And yes,
we like in this paragraph we saw all those. This whole adhyaya summarized also, like what is the he's the knower, he's the enjoyer, he's the doer. It was always there, but in detail when we discuss and come back to these qualities, then just that word makes much more deeper.
Yes,
meaning.
Yes. A thinker, intelligent being, yeah.
Being a knower, is knowledge and knower.
Yeah, so just Jiva Goswami just gets into the details of these.
Yeah. But it's always mentioned in many places, but for us, like.
Yeah, it's just the same thing, but no, but they're specifically mentioning those things. Unavoidable for the conditioned jiva is the upadi of the linga sharir, which he acquires from the moment of his captivity by maya, and which remains with him until he becomes liberated. At the time of death, the jiva changes his old gross body for another one, but not his subtle body. The subtle body transforms to the jiva, with all his desires regarding material activity, when he leaves one gross body for another at the time of death. The details and the principles of this change of the material body are described in the Chandogya Upanishad and the Brahma Sutra. It is known as Panchagni Vidya, the five fiery substances, which are Chit Agni, Vrishtyagni, Bhojan Agni, Reto Havan Agni, etc. Just one more. The nature and tendencies of the conditioned jiva in his new life and body are decided by the desires and samskaras, purificatory ceremonies of his previous life. He acquires his status and caste according to them. His works and action in his present life are prompted by his position within the system of Varnashram. And after death and the subsequent rebirth into a new body, the same process is repeated. These are the two coverings of the eternal spiritual identity, the jiva, the stula sharira and the linga sharira. Vrajana, what is the difference between the nitya sharira, eternal form of the jiva, and his linga sharira? Raghunath Das Babaji, the nitya sharira is fully spiritual and faultless and makes up the real identity of the jiva, his true self and ego. The linga sharira is acquired when the jiva comes into contact with matter. It consists of three vitiated transformations of the spiritual energy. Mana, mind, buddhi, intelligence, and ahankara, false ego. So these aspects of the mind, intelligence, and ego, when it says vitiated, that's like in Ayurveda. When one of the doshas, mucus, bile, air, becomes vitiated, then that is out of balance. And you get sick, so all three are out of balance. And so it's just a matter of what kind of balance it's in. Something's a little bit more proper, something else is not, or something, three are more proper, or three less. So like this, you get all the different species of life and positions. So when you come out in contact with material energy, means you come in contact with material energy as soon as you don't see something in connection with Krishna. So that's why we talk about seeing everything in connection with Krishna. Then you're not in connection with the material energy. If you only see some things connected to Krishna, everything else not, then in those some things you see, you're not connected with the material energy. With those things you don't see connected to Krishna, then you're connected with the material energy. Right? It means if you're unaware of material energy, then that's fine also. But, you know, but then you have to be, you know, it's a practical position. Vrajana, are mana, buddhi, and ahankara material substances? And if so, then why are they merited with jnana, consciousness, and knowledge, and kriya, action? Raghun Das Babaji, we need that bold and dropped.
Which one, right? Raghunath,
yeah, see, it's small and it's mm-hmm. not bold.
Okay,
okay. Oh, and yours it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm? No, but I'm saying sometimes it's there, but when they print it, something goes wrong. Computer doesn't, does not compute.
Just lazy.
Yeah, the computer gets lazy. The Bhagavad Gita 7:4-6 declares, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, altogether these eight constitute my separate material energies. Besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mind which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. All created beings have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and of all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain I am both the origin and the dissolution. So the jivas are there, the spiritual nature, then you have the material nature, and then they combine together as the bodies, as it was mentioned before. That combination, then that produces the living entities. Though the jiva is not covered, I mean, he's always in a transcendental, transcendental state. But at the same time, because of his consciousness, he comes under the control of material energy. When you put the two together, then you get what we call a living entity. And both of these are controlled by Krishna. According to this quotation from the Gita Upanishad, Sarva Shaktiman, Bhagavan possesses two distinct prakriti, natures. The para prakriti, the superior spiritual nature, and the apara prakriti, the inferior material nature. His para prakriti is the jiva shakti, and his apara prakriti is the jada shakti, which is known as the maya shakti. The jiva shakti is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, hence it is known as the para shakti, whereas the maya shakti is the external material energy, so she is called apara shakti. The jiva is distinct from the apara shakti. The inferior apara shakti comprises the eight material elements, which are the five gross elements, plus the three subtle elements. The three subtle elements are mana, buddhi, and ahankara. These three are the eternal subtle elements comprising the linga sharira. Nevertheless, they are wholly material. Although these three exhibit some form of consciousness and knowledge because of the presence of the jiva within them, it is not transcendental consciousness, but mundane, vitiated consciousness by the effect of the attachment of the jiva to the inferior maya shakti. So they appear alive, just like when you have something, light reflects into it. You know, it appears, the room appears bright, but it's the light that's making it. You take that, you turn off the light, there's no light in the room. So like that, therefore the mind seems that it's animated, the intelligence, the ego, and all these things. Yeah? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.